to live righteously.
It's time for a special episode of the Cultural Hall. Man, this is cool. Lots of folks from the film that's out now. You can go see it. It's Saturday's Warrior. Thanks for being here. Michael Buster, the director. Kenny Holland, the star. We got Lex Diaz-Avedo. And you know what? The best part, Lex? The microphone is going to work this time. When I went with you before, my microphone was messed up. So we're all good. And then from Awesome, you know him. It's Alex Boyer. Thanks for being here as well.
Who's in the film?
He's in the he's in the film. I've seen.
Really? I thought he just came here to hang out.
I'm security, actually.
Wait, Alex, who did you play in the film? I'm trying to remember.
I have no idea. But Snow Bailey was
in. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
And Gladys, right?
Yeah.
The three of you guys just hanging out. That would be a cool movie.
I'm just the second tier. If they don't turn up, they have me.
Oh, stop it.
No, dude, you are awesome, man.
You guys had you've now had a couple screenings, right, where people have been able to see it. I've seen it all over the internet now. People saying, oh, man, what a great time, singing along in the theaters. How are we feeling this morning? Good?
Awesome, man. Amazing. I think we broke the internet last night. Kenny alone just broke the internet with everything that was going on, you know, right, man? That was our goal.
I want to start there because I heard the phrase when in my day job, our movie reviewer said, well, you know, the next Mormon heartthrob will be Kenny Holland. And so I was like, yo, okay, so were we thinking posters of just Kenny and we can put him up on the wall and stuff like that?
Building.
Yeah, the sides of building.
That's right.
Is that pretty cool, Kenny?
Dude. It is cool, man. It's an honor to really to play Jimmy for me. Like, just hopping that role, dude, it was so sweet.
Intimidating though to have. I would think that it was sort of like that though at the premiere, and you were attended it last night. Mm-hmm. To have people kind of going, hey, that Kenny's kind of a good looking guy, and kind of, I don't want to say throwing themselves because that seems to cheapen it, but throwing themselves at you.
Well, it was a fun experience. I mean, I've been a solo musician for a few years now, so I've kind of experienced
some of that
taste of it, and. But last night was definitely an influx of all that excitement, for sure.
And the new experience for Kenny last night was he actually had some middle-aged men who also were really wanting pictures with him, which was a very new experience.
Very rare. Very rare. Very rare.
That's so awesome. What's the overwhelming thing that people are saying? Has there been one comment that people keep coming back to with the film being out now? Lex, what do you think?
Well, it's a little early. I mean, there were 2,000 people showed up last night for the premiere at the Jordan Commons that was not advertised to the public.
Yeah,
just off Facebook. I think obviously Kenny's performance as Jimmy was a principal thing. They love seeing Alex Boyer. They love seeing the piano guys.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Saturday's Warrior is that there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
If you have children, if you're a parent, you can relate to the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for teenagers. You see that you see a young guy struggling to find himself in life, and so we'll see what the main what comes back. But everything I thought was it was a very positive. Actually, the response was more than I anticipated.
I know one of the things that I've heard, just people asking, "Oh, how are they going to do this?" They went from, you know, it's a stage production from 40 years ago, 74, correct?
74 was the first.
74 to now a film, a movie production in 2016, and you know, Michael, we've got the director here. You were the one that took on that burden.
Yeah, well, we took it on together. I mean, it was Lex, myself, and Heather Reverino trying to figure out how to make this story resonate. And I'll tell you, when the biggest thing that people talked to me about last night was how much they felt like they understood all these people better.
Right.
That was one of our big goals, was to kind of flesh everybody out, to take them up from a little more 2D to a little more 3D. And to make sure that every character, even the ones that you think are maybe doing decisions that you would agree with,
mm-hmm.
still had consequences to those decisions. You know, nobody got a free ride in the film. And so it wasn't just Jimmy who had consequences. It was the parents who had consequences. It was Julie. I mean, everybody. Everybody's got, there's things that they get and there's things that they give up to get what they're going for. And we felt like a lot of those things helped to get the audience to really get to understand these characters more and on a deeper level. And that was kind of one of the big things for us, was to just try to make this something that used what was so powerful about the original and then just deepen it, you know?
One of the things that I absolutely love about it, going back to the original, is that it's something that I've seen a bunch. It's inherent in Mormon culture, but certainly in my upbringing as far as the church goes. So it's a story that I love. It's songs that I know. It's, you know, no offense, Lex, we've had a little fun with them before. You know, we've poked a little fun. I think my favorite quote, and just to reiterate this again, but you can hear this in the episode we did with Lex before, where he says, if I would have known that this would be the thing I would be remembered most for, I would have put a little more work into it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's something that for me, to have it be coming again at this point in my life, you know, when I was a teenager, I watched it and enjoyed it. But now it means something entirely different, kind of in an age. I want to ask you, Alex, who you play?
I play the Heavenly Host, or what the originally was, the Heavenly Matron.
Matron,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they switched.
He wasn't very matronly. Yeah. You weren't very matronly, so we had to figure that out.
Yeah, they were like, we're going to try Matron, but yeah, all right, well, we're going to have to make him the Heavenly Host. That experience for you doing this kind of thing, what was that for you?
You know, it was great because, you know, I love to sing, love to dance, and getting a chance to do that in this was awesome, because I wasn't expecting that. But it just seemed to just feel really, really natural, and just, you know, Lex gave me a rundown of how he wanted it to look like, you know. We didn't know whether they wanted me to be, like, really, really old or whatever, and he just said, just be yourself, and that was the best thing for me. So, you know, one thing I really love about this is, you know, is that it came out at the perfect time. Came out at the time of internet and bloggers and vloggers and everything, you know. And the beauty of it now is that it's just going to take a life of its own just once it's out there. We know that it worked, right? You saw, you know, it was sold out 7 theaters last night.
Jeez.
Me,
yeah.
Right? So we know it worked. Had great comments and stuff and feedback. So now it's just going to boom. It's going to go out there. And this man, Kenny, you know, in this area.
Excuse me, that's the heartthrob Kenny, if we can.
Yeah, that's right. H.P. Kenny.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. And I think just everyone involved just did it justice and did such a good job. And the characters now, and just like Lex was saying, just making it, you know, had a little more complexities, that word, to the characters. I think it's just really awesome, especially in this generation with the ADD generation, where people just, they want a little bit more, you know, just substance to characters. It's perfect for this generation. And I think it's really, really going to stand the test of time.
Well, one of the things actually that enables us to flesh it out is we live in the age of music video. And in a music video, you can tell a whole story without saying a word.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in some instances since the show is largely musical numbers. On stage, when we did it, they just got up there and they sang. And when Todd sang his song, he was a seeker of truth, but you knew nothing about him.
Yeah.
You really didn't know anything about Jimmy. He was just a kid influenced by bad friends.
Right.
By friends in spandex. Yeah. We're your friends.
Yeah.
But now you understand.
Just do a toe touch, quick.
I will.
Background. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about the film, that makes the characters real and relevant.
Are there a lot of... I know... In films that are remakes or sort of adaptations of you, as you've done here, are there sort of nods or Easter eggs to people who will remember the original? I know, Daddy's Nose is not in there, but is there like, well, we it looks like we've all got you.
We don't want to spoil it, but the answer is yes.
But you mentioned Daddy's Nose, and it happens to be one of the most poignant moments in the film. It is there,
okay,
but the song is not.
It flips on its head. It goes from being a fun moment to a very poignant moment.
But there are those things. And then also I wanted to ask you too, I know based from social media that there are several people who were originally in it who attended last night. Are some of those folks kind of re-charactered in the movie that we would know?
Well, not really. They were the people in the original California cast in 1974 played a big part in defining the roles. But it was fun last night. We had Sean King, who's married to Larry King.
Uh-huh.
When she was 13, played the role of Pam in the Los Angeles show. And she flew in for that.
Oh, cool.
And her brother played Max Gang in the play. Mac is now the leader of Jimmy's band.
Mm.
So, and then having the original Utah cast that did like 130 sold-out performances in Salt Lake in big halls. And then having the video cast there last night. It was really fun to see all these people that have made Saturday's Warrior the icon that it's become.
Kenny, you talk about being a musician for the last few years, so people would know you from that before. Is it an interesting thing for your fans to now see this kind of come into play?
I think totally. I think it's an interesting thing for everyone, including myself.
Yeah? Still kind of figuring your way out about it.
Definitely. I had an awesome team, you know, Michael on the direction, and of course, you know, Lex and creating the music, and just surrounded by such a family of people who helped me kind of hop into the role and hop into this new experience of acting, which I literally had never done before. I walked on the first day of shooting and had never acted a day in my life. And
I got these papers and they have words on them. What are these guys?
Right.
Oh, those are your lines. Oh, okay.
I'll say them now. Exactly. Yeah. So it really interesting. I think it'll be really cool for my fans to see this side of, you know, my passion, and that has become acting in such a crazy cool way from this experience.
So what's next then for you? What can people look forward to from you?
For me, well, obviously, you know, really focused on pushing this movie and getting it out there as much as possible. But on the, you know, music career side of things, I have, within the next week, I have a single called So Long coming out on April 5th. And that'll be followed by a few other singles, all leading up to an EP that I'm releasing called Boats on May 1st, which is my birthday.
Cool. Happy birthday.
And that stands for Based on a True Story.
Oh,
and,
nice.
I wrote it about my story to explain what I've been through in my life. And ironically enough, I learned a lot about my own story through the story of Jimmy and playing that character and hopping into that role. So
I think that's cool. And you speak to something that I think everyone, and that's what's so relatable about your characters, Lex, is that, you know, the story of Jimmy is not an uncommon one where we all are trying to sort of figure ourselves out, right? Parents are telling you your whole life, this, and you reach that point where you kind of go, I'm not really sure that that's the thing I want to do. Or, you know, maybe I need to have my own space, figure out my own time.
Yeah.
A huge push. And so people, we've said this before when we've had other films on. As you're listening to this, go see the film if you can in theaters this weekend. If it's not playing in your state, obviously you can request it, right? There are ways that you can request it.
Yeah, on the Facebook page, yeah.
Everything you need to know is found on the Saturday's Warrior, the motion picture Facebook page.
Okay.
Even the whole history of the film is there. We have clips from auditioning Kenny. When Michael was chosen as director, we filmed the moment we told him he was going to be the director.
It was a big room of people, and then they're like, Michael, he's like, yeah!
And Alex, yeah. When he was
It was
called,
kind of like The Price
him.
Is Right. I ran down there.
Come on,
it was pretty cool, yeah.
I wish that was how it was. Wouldn't that be great? Big room full of directors.
By the way, I got to tell you how we found Kenny. We had started the Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And we knew that finding Jimmy was central
crucial
to the strength of this film. Without a Jimmy, we didn't have a film.
Right.
So we put it out on Facebook. We're looking for a Jimmy Flinders. And there's a lady from Arizona sends a message and says, "Well, my son, he's never acted before, but he's pretty good, and he's got following on Vine and Twitter and things like that, and he sings pretty good." And we said, "Well, send us a demo."
Do you remember they sent that like Panera Bread thing or chicken? Some chicken. They sent like some chicken commercial you did.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, really?
Yes.
Wait,
it was like this commercial about chicken, and I just remember. But I remember looking at him and being like, "Well, that's pretty cool, actually." I'm like, I have no idea if he can act, but I just kind of like who he is.
Yeah,
if he can be himself in this film, then I would really dig that. And so we wanted to meet him and see, like, could he say these words that we had written down on a page and be himself?
Okay, so wait a minute. What's this Panera thing?
Oh, it was chicken, right? Was it? But Panera's wrong, right? It was some kind of chicken.
It was Panera.
You were doing a brand. You're doing a
it was just like a commercial type situation.
You're just like, I like this sandwich, this chicken.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of grilled chicken, and that's they asked me what my favorite food was. was, and I went off on chicken. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I remember just thinking, well, all right. I wonder if he can do that when he's not being himself, you know?
Yeah. Did your mom tell you she was doing this, or was it like, hey, guess what, sweetie?
You know what? She actually did. She called. I was living in Washington at the time over summer with a bandmate that I was in at the time. And she called me just one day while we were making breakfast, and she was like, hey, have you ever heard of Saturday's Warrior? And I said, no, I have never seen it, heard of it, anything. And she said, well, they're looking for the lead role, and I'm going to submit you. And I was like, okay, Mom, sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, not really. I had no idea what to even expect. I almost was kind of... I was doubting my mom's decision at that point. I wasn't sure at all, but I'm really glad she did, you know, make that request to them. And so, yeah, later I came out to Utah, auditioned, and I turned down the role once.
Yeah.
Actually. Oh, really? Wait a minute.
I did, yeah.
But you're sitting here, so you obviously said yes. So what's that like? What was that about?
Well, you know, I think originally... I was acting out of a bit of fear.
Okay.
When they asked me to play the part, one, because I'd never acted in my life, and that was never necessarily a huge passion of mine. It was always music for me. And two, because I knew it was a very important religious role in a way, and it was almost a little bit intimidating to me to hop into those shoes. Simply because I felt like I would be kind of an example for a lot of people after I accepted it.
Right.
And I don't pretend to be perfect by any means. I don't think anyone is perfect, you know what I mean? So we're all just trying to find our way through life and figure out who we are. And once I realized that's exactly who Jimmy is and what he, you know, is going through in his life, I figured why not be a part of, you know, that fight for good to help people figure out their purpose.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We had some pretty intense conversations.
Yes. You did.
Yes. Very intense.
Are we talking yelling intense or
no,
what?
No, no, no. Just deep, intimate, spiritual things about the impact of this film. And one of the things I said to Kenny is, Kenny, look, I am reluctant to cast you in this role, and yet unless you're willing to accept the responsibility that comes with this, because you will be inundated with requests to do firesides from all over the world. This is going to change your life.
Right.
And if this is something that you're uncomfortable with, you know, and because he's finding out, trying to figure out who he is, just like Jimmy, which was one of the things that was so appealing. He was living the life of Jimmy Flinders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some really intimate, and it came down out of prayer, actually, on
Both parts.
Everyone's part, and fasting, actually, to determine if this was the right, if he was the right person, if it was the right time for him and his life to do this.
Thankfully, we decided that it was right, and I accepted the role and learned more about myself through another kid's lost, you know, story.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
What was the hardest thing about it for you?
I think the hardest thing for me was the fact that it was so real, so relatable for me. It was like I almost had experienced a lot of the same things that Jimmy had gone through. You know, I have five beautiful sisters. I have an awesome mom and dad. Just big family, just like Jimmy does. And I'm so passionate about music. I always have been, and I've always wanted to chase that dream. And I did chase that dream, and it, you know, seemed to be going pretty well and everything, but there's a point where, you know, you maybe question things and start to wonder what life and everything's really about. And so through Jimmy, I learned that there's more to life.
More to life than just what we see.
Exactly.
All right, Alex, what do you have coming up? Obviously, you're helping push this thing, but then what have you got coming up?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm just blown away by just what I just heard.
Yeah.
By just, you know, this, because I didn't know anything about this, the whole background of everything, and I'm just even more in awe of this man that just spoke. That's just incredible. Wow. But, all right, I'm about tearing up now. Okay, so I just did a... really random. I just did a duet with Marie Osmond, and
I think I haven't watched it yet, I saw that it was done.
It was really crazy because after I did America's Got Talent, you know, and a few people had seen that, and it didn't go so well. It started off really amazing and ended just, you know, not so well, and I was really deflated and stuff like that. And then I just remember just, you know, getting a call from Marie Osmond, and she said, hey, you know, I would love to do something with you. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah,
I've got this idea. I know you do a lot of YouTube stuff. And she said, you know, let's do this duet, and would you direct the video? And it was just, I don't know if she knows how I needed that at the time, you know. Your self-esteem kind of goes down and kind of stuff. Just wondering if you really, you know, got the stuff to do it, been doing it for so long, you know. And he put it out, and I mean, as of yesterday, I think it's like gone to like top 10 on Vivo for the country.
Gee.
You know, charts, and it's starting to go really well, and it looks like I'm going to be going over and performing it live on Marie's show in Vegas. And
that's awesome.
So there's been a lot of cool things, and then since then, you know, I've had a call from actually some people at the MGM and asking if I'd be interested in putting on my own show there. And so, you know, a lot of really cool stuff has been happening. And then, you know, of course, this doing Saturday's Warrior.
Yeah, you've been able to be the host of Heavens, for crying out loud.
That's, you know, it really was.
He's the heavenly host.
Heavenly host. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what really blew me away was when after the show was done, and Lex had everyone stand up, all the past cast from Utah, the cast from, you know, L.A., and the, you know, the video cast. And I swear, there must have been about 200 people that stood up, you know, that was there, that was present. And it was just, I'd never seen anything like that before. Just that camaraderie and that feeling and the way that they supported the new cast. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no jealousy or that feeling. They were all just like, you know, this is just great. You know, it was all about, to them, you're pushing this story forward to another generation. So it was really exciting to be a part of that. And I'm really grateful for Lex just letting me see that, because I was, in a smaller way, nothing like Kenny, but in a smaller way, you know, I didn't want to do it at first, only simply because I felt it just took me away from what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't.
But what I found,
you weren't really that familiar with Saturday's Warrior.
No.
The first time we talked is like,
how did you
know what we're talking about?
How did it be that
your wife knew what it was?
Yeah, my wife, she went nuts. You know, a woman in the house, you got to make them happy. Yeah.
You are doing that film, Alex. You will do that film.
I was just like, you know, I had so many things on at the time, and when my wife, she was just like, she just went nuts. She was like all breathless, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? And then she went and told her mom and dad, and her mom and dad called me, and they were just going nuts. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know? And then I just can't, I realized that, you know, as a musician, an artist, a performer, you always want to be a part of something that really hits people in the heart. And this was it. So I was looking elsewhere for stuff, and it was just like, McFly, it's right here. You know what I mean? So it was a great way to just kind of refocus me and just, you know, because I always want to be involved in something that's just like from the heart, you know, not just, I mean, I used to be in a pop band. I was the lead singer of this. I was in a boy band. This is back in the, Kenny wasn't even born then, man. And I called it throwaway pop music, you know what I mean? I had a lot of fun with it, but it had no substance, and I just didn't, you know. And so, you know, this, that, just the story and just kind of living, you know, the experience through Kenny and all the characters in it, it just kind of reiterated and brought it back to me that, you know, whatever we do, we do it with heart and we do it with passion. And if we don't, no matter how much money is involved, how big you're going to get, it's just not worth it. And sometimes people have to go through it. You can't tell people, you know what I mean? Someone gets offered this big opportunity, right? You're not going to say, listen, I've been there before, so don't try it. Because it's like, they don't know. They have no experience, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to kick themselves if they never, ever tried. So sometimes you just got to let them go and do it and let them experience it for themselves, you know? So I just love that story because it just kind of reiterated to me a little bit about what I went through, you know, back in the day when I was in this little boy band. You know?
Yeah.
So. Well, I think your listeners may be interested to know. A lot of people say, well, what, you've added new numbers? Have you taken some out? Uh-huh. You ruined my Saturday's Warrior?
You've taken what I love and cherish and got rid of it? Daddy's Nose? Are you kidding? Forget.
But we wrote for Alex, the big opening of Saturday's Warrior is a new song now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's called Just a Blink of an Eye. Just life is just a blink of an eye. And it's Alex at his best.
Is there a soundtrack available for purchase already?
Yes. It was there last night.
How can people get it?
Well, you can get it at, go to the website, SaturdaysWarrior.com.
Okay. outlets like Deseret Books, places like that?
Yeah, it came off the press yesterday. And so right now, it's probably only available on the website.
Okay. And that's probably just digital form, right? Like an MP3 I can put... it's just physical CDs.
It's a special edition. It's got the signature and notes and comments from the entire cast.
Cool.
It's about the songs. And it's got like an 18-page fold-out, full-color picture of the cast and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's kind of funny what you were talking about. The person I was most nervous to meet, honestly, was Doug Stewart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because this was his. This was his
and
baby.
He was not involved at all.
At all in this. And we took the ball and ran with it. I mean, we swung for the fences, and we were kind of no holds barred on, like, we're going to do whatever it takes to really make this story sing for a modern audience, you know? And so I was, when I saw him, I was like, after the film, I wanted to walk up to him and be like, did I kill your baby? Like, are you okay? You know, I know. I mean, I really, really messed with your stuff, you know? And he just gave me a big hug and just said, thank you. He's like, I feel like you just helped me get to know all of these characters I've known all my life better.
That's awesome.
He's like, I feel like I know everybody and everything was just deepened and it was richer. And it was, he's like, he said, I went into it thinking that I was going to be critical. He's like, and I was, you know, show starting. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. What they do, you know? He's like, and I found myself within just a couple minutes swept up. He's like, and then I just went for the ride.
That's awesome.
He's like, and I was emotional. I was all these things. He's like, it was amazing that it really did that to me. He's like, I just didn't expect to have those feelings when I was there.
Who he is too?
It is totally
his character.
Yeah,
completely. He came up afterwards and he said, Lex, he said, I don't know what to say. He says, this was incredible. And I was really fearful, too. I mean, you know, what he'd say, because if you go back to the very first performance of Saturday's Warrior, it was in 1974 at BYU Festival of Arts on stage. And we had written the show, and I had an idea the way I wanted it to be. And I thought Doug had communicated that idea to them. And I was too busy to go to any of the rehearsals or anything else. I was doing this Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour, NBC show back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I got up there after the show. Doug calls me and says, people love it. They love this show. Standing ovations. Oh, at BYU, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I mean, one person stands and then everyone guiltily feels obligated. So, all right, I guess I'll stand up.
15 minutes into the show, I was so disappointed, so upset. I got up and walked out.
Oh.
I was sitting next to the director. I excused myself, went into the restroom, and almost threw up. I have a very strong reaction to things like this. And afterwards, and comes up to me and says, what do you think? I said, Doug, this show is dead. I never want to see the show again. Huh. So here we are 42 years later in my show. I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be in
his moment?
Yeah.
His moment.
People can request it, like we said, if you go to Saturday's Warrior, the motion picture on Facebook.
Right. Yeah, join us there. They keep an update. Where it's playing, everything.
And I'm assuming DVDs down the road as well. People will be able to pick that up.
Once we're through with the theatrical run.
Awesome. Right. Like right around Christmas time, an excellent Christmas gift. Well, just throwing that out there. And did you guys know that it's conference weekend this weekend? What a great opportunity.
Wait, what?
What? I hope there's a commercial or two about Saturday's Warrior during conference.
We'll see them.
Yeah, they will be there.
And then the soundtrack as well. That sounds like an awesome thing for people to be able to pick up. Joined with Michael Buster, Kenny Holland, Lex D'Azevedo, and Alex Boyer. The film is Saturday's Warrior. Go check it out. It's in theaters, or it can be in theaters. Request it. Let's end this episode right now by saying we hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you were not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat.